It is Friday, March 24, the Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio. Great to be in Albury. We're here at the Race Club. Beautiful morning. Horses galloping. Mitch Beer's going to join us in about 10, 12 minutes or so. He's got a big hand here today. Had a big hand yesterday as well. The local trainer and local personality. We'll get some of his local knowledge for sure and some of the best haunts around town. That's coming up. Last night, 17-16, though, Mitchell Moses. It just had to be Mitch Moses, the hero, as Parra beat Penrith in golden point extra time after Nathan Cleary hit a field goal, a two-point field goal, to ensure it went to extra time. And that was right on full time that Cleary slotted that. In the AFL, it was an epic game at the MCG as well. The Premiers, Geelong, they're 0-2 after Carlton beat them by 8 points there last night. The Swans this weekend have Hawthorn at the SCG. That's 1:10 on Sunday afternoon. No Lance Franklin, though. He's suspended. Gee, the Swans are $1.08 with Tab. And GWS, they're in Perth up against the West Coast Eagles. That's 6:20 p.m. Sunday night. And the number one draft pick, Aaron Cadman's in the squad and could debut as well. Harry Perryman, Josh Kelly and Lockie Whitfield are all out injured. Really tight market with Tab. The Giants slight favourites $1.80 against the Eagles at $2. The Eagles coming off a loss to North Melbourne last week. But let's talk what we saw last night at Parramatta or Combank Stadium. And Adam Pengilly from the Sydney Morning Herald is joining us. Adam, good morning.
Morning, Jared. Morning, boys. You're going to be on the circuit with Mitch Beer tonight. That'll be something to see in Albury, I reckon.
Imagine if he wins the cup.
Oh, you guys might not make it back to Sydney this weekend if he wins the cup.
No, for a week maybe. But last night, Parramatta fans, they were kicking up, that's for sure. What a game it was too, and what a start to the season we've had, Adam, just punctuated by that game last night.
Yeah, I've got to say, Mido, I thought of the opening three rounds have been some of the most enjoyable I've seen for a very, very long time. I was a bit concerned, to be honest, with the World Cup at the back end of last year and the shortened pre-season, but the competition started in fantastic fashion. A lot of close games. I think the ladder's going to be a lot different to what we saw last year from the evidence we've seen so far in the first 3 weeks. And again there last night, probably an upset of sorts with Parramatta getting their first win on the board over Penrith. It was a really interesting game. It was pretty much a game of attrition. Both teams had a really high completion rate, and it sort of, given there wasn't a whole lot of errors, it seemed to whiz by really quickly. You sort of looked up at the clock in the first half. It was only 5 minutes to go before half time. So I thought Parramatta deserved their win last night. Nathan Cleary's field goal, I know you guys have been speaking about it already, but like, how did he do that? Like, that's just absolutely incredible from 45 metres. And then you would have thought they had all the running going as a golden point with an extra man, and then obviously Mitch Kenny gets sin binned for the first tackle that Penrith make pretty much in golden point, and Mitchell Moses goes down the other end and ices the game. And we've been talking about it now for a few weeks, and he wants to earn these type of dollars that he's sort of commanding in his next contract. He's got to be able to win these big games and ice them when they matter, and he did that there last night. So full credit to Mitch, and I think his celebration sort of showed what's on his mind at the moment.
Adam, this talk, they're saying he's signed, but it doesn't sound like he has signed.
I think he's agreed, Clarky. I think he's agreed to the deal. I don't think whether he's put pen to paper yet, I highly doubt. I think he's still waiting to do that. But I think his manager...
So has he told the Tigers, for example, that their deal, he won't be accepting their deal or he won't be speaking to them anymore?
I think the Tigers are very well aware that he's going to be staying at Parramatta, Clarky, if I put it in those terms. So the deal definitely wasn't signed before last night's game, and Mitchell was very coy about it when he was asked about it on the field after the game. We tried to get into the sheds, have a quick interview with Mitchell. He declined to do that, didn't want to talk to the media or the written press after the game, sort of, I think, which sort of signals that it's still not quite completely done yet, but it's pretty much there, which is an important re-signing for the Eels, obviously, but now they've got to start winning football games. It's as simple as that. So this side has probably gone on for months now, hasn't it, really? It's been toing and froing whether he's going to stay or not. And to be honest, I have no issue with Mitchell taking as long as he needs because the system allows him to do that. Like he's playing within the rules. And I suppose you can have really... I've personally got no issue with what he's done. And the other factor to this is that Parramatta gave him an option in his contract for next year. So even if everything went belly up the last few weeks, he can just still sit there and trigger that option for 2024 and he'll be under contract. So I suppose they probably backed themselves into a corner a little bit, Parramatta, but now he's on the books and he'll be there till the end of 2028.
Tell you what, in Brisbane, you can't get enough of the Dolphins at the moment.
Well, Loz, it's almost completely overshadowed the build-up to the grand final rematch between Parramatta and Penrith last night as well. I must admit, I thought the build-up to that game last night was pretty much as quiet as I would have expected, to tell you the truth. And that's because a lot of people are talking about this game between the Broncos and Dolphins tonight. I think, Loz, this is the night where the Dolphins get maybe a bit of a reality check. I think Felice Kaufusi is obviously a huge out. Jeremy Marshall King's still not there. I think the Broncos, especially if it's dry up there in Brisbane tonight, should win, and I think they should win quite handsomely. I've loved the byplay and the build-up to this week. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but Kevy and the other Broncos officials have been calling them Redcliffe all week. They refuse to call them by their proper name, the Dolphins, which they want to be known. And I thought Wayne's appearance, did you guys catch his press conference yesterday at Suncorp Stadium before the game?
I've been reading a bit about
I went and watched the whole 12 or 13 minutes of the press conference. It was just fantastic. Just the journos are in between left, right and centre. And he just deflects and bats across every question he gets asked. So it was just a masterclass from Wayne in how to deal with the media. So,
see, that you know, masterclass, buddy, from the pro.
Yeah,
masterclass. Mudo doesn't like him.
No, he doesn't like rock him. Rock up to the launch. Not the coach of the club.
Mate, he's a Ferrari. Do not take the Ferrari out of the garage for a troll match. What for? Come on.
Jared, I reckon he would have been speaking to so many journalists this week privately on background. When it comes to the public appearance at the launch, he's like, nah, I'm not going to go. Couldn't be bothered. And he said that yesterday. He said that in his press conference. Said he was asked about it. He goes, I've got better things to do with my time. I don't need to be there.
Only Wayne Bennett. I love it.
Right. The Dragons, some week.
What reaction are we going to get from on Sunday night? That's the question to me now.
Loz, you've said to me about this game. What have you said to me? Come on, put him out there.
Oh, I think Sharks are specials.
There you go,
specials,
Adam.
Specials, Loz. Specials.
Yeah.
13 plus?
No, I wouldn't say 13 plus, but I think the Sharks are specials.
Mm. I think the game has shown... Yeah, I think the Dragons have shown some encouraging signs, Loz, the first 2 weeks. And I know they got blown off the park late by the Broncos, but this is a real test of their mental fortitude now, isn't it? Just given what's been in the news cycle this week. And it's probably not entirely unexpected, and I still believe the Dragons board have probably done the right thing by being transparent with Anthony Griffin and letting him know the process they're going to undertake. But if performances really dip in the next 3 to 4 weeks, well, then there's going to be some serious issues, isn't there, for the rest of 2023. So I can see them being competitive against the Sharks. I don't think the Sharks have been anywhere near their best so far in the first 3 games of the season. Nico Hines is a huge return. I'm really keen to see what Craig Fitzgibbon's going to do with Matt Moylan and Braden Trindle. Because I think you could make a case to say that Braden Trindle's almost been their best player in the first 3 games of the year. And he's pushing Matt Moylan hard for that starting half spot alongside Nico Hines. So just keen to see how that plays out in the next few weeks.
Your mail for tomorrow. What have you got?
Is an extremely difficult program, Jared. I'm very cautious of bed early at the moment. I just want to see what the weather's going to be like in the next 24 hours and what the track comes up tomorrow. It's a deep, deep program. Just the one best bet on the program for me so far, that's race 6, number 6, statement for Joseph O'Brien, the mare who's coming out to have a first start in Australia. Listen, we don't know a whole lot about her. She hasn't trialled out here in Australia. Obviously, she's first up for a very long time. But just going back through a couple of her old replays, she's a serious, serious horse, and at the price, I'm happy to be with her, even though she's relatively short in this market for the Emancipation. That's race 6, number 6, statement is my best bet on the program at the moment.
6-6 statement, and in the Emancipation, $4. We've tabbed Johnny Allen in the saddle for Joseph O'Brien. Barrier 2, mate. We've got Mitch Beer in the house here, so we're going to let you go. Have a great weekend.
He's much more entertaining than me, Joe. Enjoy the weekend, boys.
Good on you, mate.
See you, buddy.
Well, we're here at Albury Race Club. It is Albury Gold Cup Day, and, the first couple of horses across the line eligible for the big dance as well. They're at Randwick in the first Tuesday of November, and local trainer Mitch Beer is next to us here. And, Mitch, it's great to be in your home. Well, your adopted hometown, I guess. How are you, mate?
Yeah, well, thanks. I think I've done my Albury apprenticeship now. I've been here 4 years, so I think it's close to a local as we'll get. But, yeah, it is home. Like, I've spent my whole life in Melbourne and never thought I'd end up anywhere remotely out of it. And, we've really found home here. I love the joint.
And yesterday, so for the start of the carnival, you had Bodell Wren second, Acker's Meteor fourth, Silverdale Chief third in the Albury Mile. And in the last, things didn't quite go to plan. But how was the day overall?
Yeah, thanks for rehashing that. Terrific.
You want to go through
them one by one? That's
mate, you picked up some
build
chicks.
Him up, mate. Build him up before you...
What about the part, how did yesterday go, before you mention
hang
it?
Hang on.
Because if he goes, it went shit, then you're not going to mention these numbers.
That's a check.
Yeah.
And that's a
check. Oh, surprise, surprise, you thinking about dollars.
Absolutely.
Surprise, surprise.
And a four and a
I thought
laugh.
That was pumping you up.
four in the last, picked up 750 each. So, that's terrific. But no, great day all round. Great day. But hopefully things will be on the up. Things will be on the up today.
Mitch, do you get nervous before a weekend like this? Again, I think of you know, the times as an athlete where you build up for that big occasion. In your position, does it just feel the same every day, or are there special occasions?
I think this is it's sort of a different carnival. I think when we have a runner in a really decent race, yeah, I do get a bit edgy and a bit nervous. But I think I get more nervous because, I mean, we've got 200 people in a marquee today, and owners, and people have come from really, really far. And I'll probably get more nervous that everyone's going to have a great time and enjoy themselves and love the town,
yeah,
as well as their horse running well. So it's a bit of a double attack, but but it's been great. You know, we had a great Calcutta last night, and you know, all the horses. We had a couple of little incidents yesterday, but the horses have pulled up well from that. They're all safe and sound. So we'll just back up and go again today.
Well, you've got a few horses running today. Let's start in the opening race. Shall We Play?
Trialed very well, and the horse that beat at home in the trial bolted in yesterday, having its first start, Miller time. So she might want a little bit further, but she's a bit unknown in the soft, but one to follow throughout her next couple of starts for sure.
We've been talking about ambushes because we're talking about Parramatta ambushing Penrith last night. You've got a horse running in race one, Nutbush Ambush.
Yeah, very...
Is there an ambush on the cards today?
He's by Invader out of Stolen Dance, so yeah. Someone's had a few beers and stayed up late and come up with that and thought they're a genius. But he was terrific. His first start, he ran second behind a horse that was $1.20, and he was very, very good. Alicia Collett Sticks, I think he'd be extremely hard to beat.
$3.60 on the second line of betting. That's race one, number five. When you look across today, what is your best chance, Mitch?
I'd probably say him. Yeah. I think he's probably the standout chance amongst them. I'd be having something each way on November Falls at $26 or $28. Okay, Blinker's that's... first time.
Yep.
She'll run really well. She likes a bit of cut out of the ground, and that track chopped out a little bit yesterday. It did a really good job, but the sting will still be out of it today.
Yeah,
just race three, number nine for our listeners. $23 as it stands with Tab is November Falls.
Yeah, Mitch, I was just going to say, what are conditions like today?
I can't believe how much rain we missed yesterday. It was literally...
The forecast was horrible, wasn't
it? He wants the covers. Well, he wants covers
listen,
on racetracks,
listen,
Mitch.
Listen, I'm just... I know common sense is not so common, but to me, if that's not the most important part of your business, I don't know what is. Like, you need a horse and you need a track and ground to run on.
I think...
So protect it.
You see some of the training centres in Japan and all their training tracks are fully undercover.
Hey, seriously, there's a business opportunity here. We just can't afford to pay for the covers.
There you go. but it'll race... one thing about the track yesterday, they led, they came down the outside, they come from behind. So it'll race really, really fair, unless none of mine win, and then it was completely...
horrible.
Yeah, horrendous.
How's your... I'm guessing it's the stable star, is Nemanth.
Yeah, he's gone terrific. Yeah, he's back. He'll go to Randwick in 3 weeks' time, and then he'll head down to either the Wongoom down at Warrnambool.
You just went a trip.
Well, you know, it just happened to be a nice little race for him down. I might have to go down 3 or 4 days early and just get him settled in. Or back to the town plate, which he ran second in last year. But, yeah, he's been terrific. A great money spinner for the stable. I think last prep he put, you know, $250,000 in the bank. So if we could find another couple like him, it would make things a bit easier.
And in the commercial club Albury Cup, Scarlet Prince, how do you go?
Really well. It took a lot. He was second favourite in a $50,000 race yesterday, and I scratched him to run in the cup today. I thought he was unbeatable his last start, and he didn't go well. He pulled up with a little issue that we've rectified. But yeah, he's a really, really good each way chance today.
Okay, the cup is race seven, number 14, Scarlet Prince, $26 the win, $6 the place. Describe the party if you won the Albury Cup today.
Well, if you cast your eyes over there, there's a big Mitch Beer Racing marquee that's going to have 200 and of a very eclectic mix of people from all walks of life in there today. But
we met Kelly from Londonderry last night. I think she said she's in one of your tricolour horses.
A lot of people last night that were going into your tent.
Yeah.
Well, I'll make sure you have security.
There'll be a lot more.
They'll be trying to get in.
If they're not coming in as owners, they'll be coming out as one. That's for sure. No, it'll be great.
Get them in a headlock.
But no, it's great. And it's just awesome for the club. You know, they do a terrific job here year in, year round. So to be able to get people up here and showcase it, have you guys here, the works, it's bloody terrific.
How many horses you got?
We've got 46 in work at the moment, which is probably about 35 too many. But things are going really good. We've had a massive crack at buying some better stock this year, and we're probably going to look to cut back a little bit and just concentrate on some of our better ones, probably get back to about 35. We've got some really nice young horses coming through the system that we need to concentrate and spend our time on. And especially now, like with these highways and country championships and Kosciuszko's, you know, there's so much money in targeting those sort of races with better horses and these sort of carnivals. Like I think the 35,000 is a minimum over the 2 days, and we've got some massive money going around today. So there's so much wealth, and it's so healthy in country racing in New South Wales.
And for those people, Mitch, trudging into town, give us a couple of your favourite haunts, whether they be, the Chinese, the local pub, karaoke bar. What are the joints that,
Tonight, after the races, when they leave your tent, the marquee, where
they're getting
in
anywhere.
They'll be signing a waiver when they leave. I think we're heading back to Soden's after the races today. They normally have a pretty decent band. And if you're still going about 1 to 3 a.m., Sweethearts do a pretty good pizza.
Sweethearts. How good.
Brilliant. Well, mate, great to speak to you. And, your owners obviously love racing with you. So if there's anyone who wants to get involved, your website's the place to go.
Yeah. MitchBRacing.com.au or flick us a message. If you want to get involved. But it'd just be great to see everyone here today, and should be in for a good show.
Hope it all goes well for you, mate.
Thanks, guys.
Oh, England. England are leading Italy 2-0 in Naples in their first Euro qualifier this morning. Of course, they met at the final of the previous European Championship, with Italy winning that at Wembley. But 2-0 as it stands, Declan Rice and Harry Kane. So Harry Kane scored from the spot. That means Harry Kane has gone past Wayne Rooney as to be the greatest goal scorer for England ever. And Mossy's coming up shortly. Now, over at the WGC, the match play, Sam Burns, Adam Scott, this is tied through 17 holes. This match this morning, round two, just some other results around. Jordan Spieth beat Taylor Montgomery, 2-1. Now, where was Jason Day? He's tied through 13 up against Victor Perez. And Minwoo Lee, he is tied through 9 in his match with Matt Fitzpatrick. Some of the matches there in Austin, Texas. Last night, it was 17-16, Parra over Penrith. And in the AFL, Carlton beat Geelong by 8 points at the MCG. Jeremy Cameron kicked 6 for the Cats, with Charlie Curnow 5 for the Blues. And we've also got the Sheffield Shield final going on, Clarkie.
We do.
It was slow going.
Victoria VWA.
Victoria VWA. Now, the Victorian opener, and of course it doesn't come up when I need it. Now, here it is. Ashley Chandrasinghe opened the batting, batted through the day, 46 not out. 90 overs bowled, so it stumps on day one. Victoria 8 for 194.
What?
Yeah, Chandrasinghe, 46 not out of 266 deliveries.
What?
Harris out for 19, Hanscom out for 11, Matthew Short 36. So, Joel Parris, 2 for 34 off 22 overs. You've got Lance Morris, who we've seen in the test squad, 2 for 52 off 18 overs. Aaron Hardy, 2 for 29 off 14.
Hang on, scroll back up, please. 46 runs off 266 balls.
Not out.
17. I don't care if you're not out.
And 4 fours.
Mate, those days are gone. Those days are gone. Well, lucky he is 40-odd not out, because they're 8 for 190. So it mustn't be the easiest of wickets. So give him some credit. 46 not out, leading run scorer. Okay, well played, youngster. But, wow. Wow. I haven't seen a ball bowled, so I should be very careful not to criticise it. I'm saying, you know what? He's held the innings together.
He
because
has.
The rest of, yeah. But that is unheard of.
It is
266 balls for 40.
But
that's old.
Yeah, but if the pitch is doing a bit all right, aren't you thinking, well, we should get advantage at some stage today as well? Let's like just go for some runs and let's see whether we can get something out of the wicket. Is that how you think in that situation or not? We're just trying to scramble out last
the day.
Nah,
because you probably as a batter, certainly an opening batter, you're thinking if I can get through the start, it'll get easier.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, when you're losing all those wickets and the last time you're six for whatever, and you're thinking, if we last the day, we need to have a crack at them today and get something.
Where's
out of
the
this
game,
wicket.
Middo?
Wacker.
The only thing is, at a place like the Wacker or the Gabba, the wicket can be at its slowest on the first day, so it seems. And there's a lot of movement, but it's quite slow. The following day, a day of sun, it quickens up. So even if it does seem, on day one, if it seems you've got time to adjust, so you'll see teams bowled out for 180, in between 180 and 240, whatever it is, for example. Second day of the game, wicket quickens up. You haven't got time to adjust as a batter.
So you bat.
It can be harder to bat. So you can get teams knocked over for 150 on day two. But I haven't seen the pitch, so I don't know what it's like. First, it'd be not out. Opening the batting, it'd be not out, being eight downs, unbelievable effort. But 266 balls, that's a lot of balls for 40 runs.
Yeah.
Something's, that's, don't know. I don't know what's happened there, but on one hand, I'm praising him because he's not out and he's a leading run scorer in the innings. Without him, they're all out for 120. So he's done a great job, but 266 balls, it must be extremely tough batting conditions.
Mossy, good morning.
Morning, boys. How are you going?
Yeah, good, thanks. Actually, we'll start in Europe, considering that match is in progress. England 2-0 in Naples against Italy.
Oh, there you go. Fantastic. I must admit I've been on international call with some links. I haven't seen the progress of that game, but that's, on the face of it, a very good result brewing.
What's happening with Italian football, Mossy? They didn't qualify for the World Cup or the last couple of World Cups, and I mean, it's the start of a new cycle, obviously, but with this game here being down 2-0, not many people would have been expecting that, would they?
Well, the ridiculous thing was is that they won a European Championships in between missing out in two World Cups. So how you work that out, I've got no idea. But, look, it's... And again, I think we spoke about this in the lead-up when the Socceroos qualified. It just shows you can't take World Cup qualification for granted, no matter who you are. But, there's obviously something going wrong there. I remember that European Championships team that won it a couple of years ago, thinking, gee, there's some rejuvenation. Even though they went on and won it, there's some rejuvenation needed. Like it was the end of a cycle, you could see. There's obviously some long-term planning that needs to happen.
Mossy, Harry Kane, what an unbelievable effort to now be leading goal scorer for England.
Incredible. He's one of those players, although his name's in the headlines a lot, and you see his face in the media a lot. Obviously, he's a superstar, but he doesn't go chasing it. He's just he's one of those guys.
I didn't think he was even close to Wayne Rooney when it came to number of goals for England.
Oh, yeah. Mate, he's
unbelievable.
And that's the thing, isn't it? He just goes about his business. He's one of those guys that I reckon if you bumped into him in a pub, he'd just look like the bloke next door, even though he's a superstar of the world game. But he is... Like he's every coach's dream. The work rate in general play, his ability to play with his back to goal, his ability to score goals, be in the right place at the right time and execute. Like he doesn't get mentioned as being up there with the world's greatest players. And I understand, I kind of understand why, but geez, he's got to be up there in the conversation for the world's greatest goal scorers. He's an incredible player.
Just on him, Mossy, what about all the talk, it would have been 6 months ago, about him wanting out of Tottenham? That's all quietened down.
it does for a little bit, Loz, and then it rears its head again. Right. And now there's huge pressure on Antonio Conte. There's talk that he'll depart the club today, by the end of this week over there. It's obviously the international break this weekend. But, I think the last trophy they won was don't know, League Cup, maybe 2007 or 8, for a massive club like Spurs. And, and you know, they've got the London Stadium, you know, Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. It's incredible that they haven't been more successful and won silverware. And that is at the heart of all the talk around Harry Kane. He's a player of his ability and his output in front of goal. You know, is he going to go down as one of the best players ever to grace the EPL and not have a trophy to show for it? And that's
could
why
that
the talk
be the thing though, Mossy? Sorry to interrupt. Could that be why he's not spoken about in that same caliber of player, because he's not winning like, you know, Messi or Ronaldo?
Yeah, I think it's a great point, Clarke. And you know what it's like yourself. To put the exclamation mark on a great career, you've got to have something to show for it other than personal accolades. You know, there's trophies that should go with it.
Yeah.
So I do think that's one of the big talking points around him. But time's running out. It's not that he's on the slippery slope yet, but you know, to make a big move to a big club that's really capable of winning silverware, I think the days are numbered. So he has to make that decision very soon, you'd think.
All right, tonight, the Socceroos, the 39th, well, according to FIFA, ranked team in the world, Ecuador 44th. What can we expect?
Well, a tough series, because they're the fourth-ranked CONCACAF nation. So we all know what that's meant for the Socceroos in years gone by, because that's usually at the end of our qualifying campaign, and we've come a cropper so many times. So it's certainly not going to be an easy series. The public talk is welcome home to our World Cup heroes. I can tell you now, the private talk behind closed doors is our next campaign starts here and now. So yes, take the accolades of the fans as you run out. But as soon as that whistle goes, you're playing for spots in the campaign. And the Asian Cup is first step. Graham Arnold's been very clear in his three-step plan. It's the Asian Cup, it's qualification for the World Cup, and then it's doing better at the next World Cup than what we did at the last one. So, you know, it's nice and simple to understand what the plan is going forward. But I'm really excited about this squad. I have to say, like, obviously the World Cup was the World Cup and the Socceroos did brilliantly. But if you look at the makeup of this squad, and I think, you know, the likes of Lecky, Moy, McLaren and Rustic being out of this camp has really opened an opportunity for some of those younger players to either get debuts or those who have got some minutes for the Socceroos really stake their claim. So I think there's so much to play for in this couple of games against Ecuador, and it's good opposition for us as well.
Mossy, you know Arnie as well as anybody. The four-year cycle between now and the next World Cup, how does he get that balance right between winning and building?
Yeah, look, the thing with Arnie is he's a master at the I call him
because if you know what I mean, like last time he could say that he was building, but all the pressure came on and no one cared. They just wanted to win for the soccer.
Yeah.
Race, you know.
Well, we're still building because we'll always be building until and if this ever happens, probably not in my lifetime, but we win a World Cup, then you're always building towards something. Hmm. And I think, you know, I was just going to say, Arnie's a master at those step motivators. And what I mean by that is finding little motivators each time. So, for instance, here's an example. So this two-game series is a friendly series, right? Not for Arnie. And what he's done is he's thrown the carrot to the players to say, well, every friendly counts towards your FIFA rankings. And the FIFA rankings make a difference when it comes to Asian Cup draws, World Cup draws, qualifying campaigns. So even though it might be a friendly, the 3 points is actually critical, and that's how he motivates the players to go a step further each time they come into camp.
And Mossy, I see Manchester United are on the verge of new owners. They've been campaigning for the Glazers to be out for a long, long time, but well, it certainly hasn't worked yet at Chelsea, although I know completely different circumstances, but I'm sure United fans will be watching this very, very well closely and with interest. Any idea of how this will all transpire as far as whether, you know, United fans are seeing it as a positive or a negative?
Oh, look, they'll be seeing that as a positive, I've got no doubt. Although the ship is starting to steady under Erik ten Hag, there's been so much vitriol in the social media and the mainstream media around the Glazers and their ownership. And obviously they've overseen a tumultuous time for the club, and a lot of fans, the majority of fans, have laid that squarely, the blame for that squarely at their feet. So, you know, I think it's certainly getting closer and closer to happening. And you know, given what Ten Hag has done with the dressing room and what they're starting to do on the pitch again now, I think the timing would be great for them to get some new owners in and just freshen things up at the club. We all know Manchester United need to be, you know, in the top echelon of world football when it comes to the Premier League and the Champions League. I just don't see that happening. I don't see them taking that next step to back to where we've kind of experienced them being for many, many years, till the end of Sir Alex Ferguson's tenure, without new owners.
Mate, you have a great weekend. Thanks so much.
You want a quick multi?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, where are you going for it?
Just tonight to Combank Stadium, yeah. Little same gamer, and it's Australia to win. Mitchell Duke, anytime goal scorer, and more than 8 corners. So it's paying just over $10.
Okay, beautiful. We'll have that in
bits. I had a dream last night, Mossy, that Harry Suter is going to score a goal.
Did you?
Yeah. Can that happen?
Interesting dream.
Of course, absolutely.
Do you usually dream things like that?
Not really, no. But I saw him on the news last night, and then I had a dream about him scoring a goal off a header.
Yeah, it'll be from a corner. 100%.
And then I thought, am I making this up? He's a defender.
No, you're definitely making it up.
No.
But can he score?
He's not scoring.
Yeah, he can.
He's 10 foot taller than any defender he's going to come up against tonight. If he gets the jump right and the delivery is good, he'll score. Now, listen, boys, just a quick one. yesterday at NAB, I attended a regional and agriculture team day in Sydney. So we had our colleagues from all over New South Wales, ACT, come into Sydney. And I was blown away by the number of them that listened to Big Sports Brekkie and gave you three a rap. Like, because they obviously travel a lot of kilometres in their car to go and visit customers.
Were they drunk?
It's incredible.
They're praising us, they're blind. Yeah, that's my point. Early in the morning, drunk.
We don't drink at NAB, Clarkie.
Let me tell you one thing. I used to bank at NAB. And I hope that drinking is the excuse for the service that I got provided.
Well, Sandy, who looks after me for NAB, who's in Canberra.
NAB are great.
Word must have got back to her yesterday.
Oh, no.
Because...
What she said?
She sent me this.
Oh, about your checkbooks?
Mm. Okay, you don't... I only manage your loans. Do you want me to help you set up?
Mossy, if you
heard... So, Sandy, if you're listening, I will come to you at some stage.
Have you heard the stuff that has come out of Laurie's mouth this week about still using his checkbook? Oh, my God. He needs serious help from you, buddy.
Oh, I can't believe you can still see them. Loz, the leader of the team, Naomi from Wagga.
Yep.
The family knows Michelle. So they send their regards. Naomi Stewart.
Beautiful. No worries.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll let Michelle know. It's a special day in the Daily Household tomorrow. Michelle's birthday.
Oh, you got there a present?
Yeah, I'll shop today.
That's coming. It's booked online.
I'll go looking for something in Albury.
Got to go, Mossy. Love you, mate.
Nice. Take care. See you, guys.
Brad Davison, good morning, mate.
Morning, guys. How are we going?
Yeah, really well, thanks. And Group 1's tomorrow there at Rose Hill, the last day of the Golden Slipper Carnival. And let's start with the Vinery Stud Stakes, where this Kiwi Prowess West has been heavily backed. $2.70, Pavitra $3.10, Fireburn the other runner in single digits at $8. How do you see it playing out?
Yeah, I'm with the Kiwi guys, Prowess. So I just think she's just a winner, isn't she? Simply as that. And she fought off the canvas last time out to beat the older horses. Look, she's got that tactical speed, and I don't think there's a great deal between her and Pavitra. It'll be an interesting betting duel, but for me, I'm just going to lean with Prowess with that 2,000-metre form, but scared of Pavitra. She was outstanding in the Kembla Grange Classic and looks a clear danger. I thought it was a race in two.
What about in the Tancred, mate?
Yeah, I'm pretty keen on Montefilia, guys. I made her the bet for the... this morning, I think she should be favourite. She beat Gold Trip easily last weekend. Look, I know he's going to like 2,400 metres, but so is she. And her last run at 2,400 metres, she should have beaten Gold Trip in a Corkle Cup. It wasn't a great ride at all that day. She should have won the race for mine, clearly. And I think she's flying. I thought the run last time out was terrific behind a world-class horse. And, I think she's very hard to beat at weight for age. I think she should be favourite, like I said. And I think she will start favourite come Saturday.
What about this horse from Ireland, Cleveland?
Yeah, look, I just think maybe handicapped 3,200 metres. I'm not convinced he's a weight for age horse. So that would be my read. But there is some talk that maybe won't even run anyway and maybe just go fresh into the Sydney Cup. But, yeah, I would have thought handicapped conditions for mine rather than weight for age.
We've got the Group 1 at the Valley tonight. The William Reid Imperatriz, the Kiwi, is the best backed and favourite, $3.40. Second best backed is King of Sparta at $9.50, which is on the fifth line of betting. Who do you like, Davo?
I've been with Bella Nipotina, guys. I just think this mare loves the Valley. Forgive in the new market. It was too bad to be true there. The run prior was outstanding. Needs luck from the wide draw, but look, I thought it was a bit more open than the market gave it credit for. Imperatriz is there, but has to get around the Valley. It's never easy. For a horse that doesn't really have the experience there. So, for me, Bella Nipotina in an open race, but definitely needs luck from that wide draw all the same.
Now, we're in Albury, Davo. Have you got anything today for us here?
Look, I think Mankayan's the one to beat in the Cup, guys. Look, I know he's going to carry the weight, but he's the 2,000-metre horse for me. He'll come on from that run last time out. And just thought Bel Toro might be a little query at the 2,000 metres. So, for me, Mankayan, the horse to beat in the Cup. And I thought in the flat knacker in the last race, just let me make sure I give you the right horse here. I thought Magnetic could give Sparring a bit of a run there in the last. He's been flying of late, Magnetic. It draws well with just Stanley aboard.
Okay, $3.70, Magnetic. And your best bet overall, Davo?
Yeah, Montefilia, guys, tomorrow. I think can win the Tancred. Yeah, I think she's well suited there. Bumped into a world-class horse last time, but there's no Dubai on her this time. And I'd be surprised if Gold Trip starts favourite over her.
And just before we go, we're going to get your take on Loz's Multi tomorrow, which is open on the TAB app and the TAB website. Just click on Sport and today's offers, Loz.
Yeah, it's Roots to Run a Place, a Diamil to Run Top Four.
Yep, Roots is a terrific chance. I'd have her in the top two, and Diamil did enough first up as a horse that improves into the preparation, Loz. So good luck with that one. I hope it comes up for you.
Cheers, Davo.
Have a great day, mate. We'll catch you on Sky tomorrow.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.